Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. It's great to be with you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of my day. And we do what we can around here. One of the things we do is we introduce you to some really smart people, our Brain Trust members, people like Chuck Martin, who's with us right now. Chuck's a relatively new member of our Brain Trust. We're glad to have him join us, and he's a best-selling author and internationally known business strategist. He's the chairman and CEO of NFI Research, and he works all around the world helping companies put their best foot forward. He's the author of Tough Management, the 7 Ways to Make Tough Decisions Easier, and he's our friend. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
It's good to have you back, and we've been doing a little bit of a series on Chuck's book. Folks, we're going to talk in a minute about focus on results. And Chuck, I've dedicated my show, as you may have heard earlier, I've dedicated my show to celebrating the life of M. Scott Peck, the author of The Road Less Traveled. And by the way, folks, there's a 25th edition of that book out right now. And in my little studio, I have a lot of books, but right up over my broadcast table is a bookshelf. And only my favorite books are up there, and I promise you, The Road Less Traveled is looking right at me. And I wonder, Chuck, I know you're familiar with the book I'm talking about and the author I'm talking about. I wanted to, I'm doing a little quote from him every half hour, and he said this: we cannot solve life's problems except by solving them. And that fits in perfectly with what you want to talk about today, doesn't it, Chuck?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great quote, by the way.
Well, he was a great man, and talk about courage. We talked about courage with him in the last interview with Bill Treasurer, and the man was 66 years old when I interviewed him about 2 years ago. He was already basically debilitated with Parkinson's disease, and he was still doing radio shows promoting his book. I mean, talk about somebody with courage. He didn't have anything else to prove. He just wanted to get the message out, and he was not going to let this disease get him down. And it's really a great icon for me, and I'm sure he is for a lot of people.
That's great. Well, that's very, very dead on in terms of what this chapter is about focusing on results, which our minimal contribution to your quotes here is basically that the bottom line is the bottom line.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And so how do we I remember talking to a guy 20 years ago. I was in the real estate business and putting deals together, and I remember the guy said he was talking about some people were trying to make promises to him. I remember that's what he was listening to them making these promises, and he said I worship at the throne of results.
That's so good.
And you know what? They all the BS that they were giving him, they quit doing that.
Right. You know, one of the things that we find that we found through our research is that there are the results, and then there are the expected results. For example, we surveyed people. As you know, we surveyed. This whole book is based on surveys of 2,000 people nationwide every 2 weeks for 2 years, and we asked how are your people in terms of being demanding. And it turns out that when it comes to requiring results, people are the bosses are extremely demanding. Like 90% are highly demanding. And what's interesting there is, in terms of the demands, the larger companies are more demanding than are the smaller companies.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Mainly because we didn't ask it. I can guess. Our guess is, and this comes back to communication, that people are close. They're closer together because it's smaller, so more people know more things and what can be delivered. There's less of a gap between the execution,
right,
and the strategy.
It's where the rubber meets the road. What you're saying is that the expectors of results are able to see the issues that the workers are having, that the people who are delivering the results are having to deal with. They're a little more realistic, whereas if you're several flights of a building separated from where the rubber meets the road, then all you say is, I worship at the throne of results. I want results. Don't tell me anything else.
Well, interestingly, you mentioned being realistic. That was our second question in this survey. We said, in general, the results my superiors expect me to deliver on these days are, and then the options were extremely realistic, somewhat realistic, not very realistic, not at all. And this is where the small companies shine, because
right.
the larger companies were more demanding, or more of them, but still 92% of smaller companies.
Stand by, Bill. Chuck, we're going to take a quick break. Chuck Martin is our guest. He's the author of Tough Management. We've got a lot more to come. We're going to talk some more about focusing on results right after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 1710. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Chuck Martin is our guest, and we're talking about focusing on results, which is Chapter 3, all about Chapter 3 in his book, Tough Management. And, Bill, we were talking about this, and you were telling us that actually small businesses are more realistic about the results than big businesses.
Yes,
and how does that convert into an advantage?
Well, it's a great advantage. Interestingly, 68% of large, those are companies with 10,000 or more employees, say that their superiors are realistic. 92% of small companies say their superiors are realistic about the results.
Well, here's how I see that as an advantage. You actually can manage and lead change in your organization without creating a casualty list.
Well, what it also does is it makes people not be depressed, because in these large companies, when you don't deliver on what's expected, you'll be working your butt off, but you're not delivering what people expect, and everyone gets depressed because everyone says, "Oh, well, you didn't deliver what I expected." Well,
what happens
is they don't manage expectations.
Do you get the feeling that there's more fear in larger companies than there is in smaller companies? Fear by the employees of being fired?
Well, yes. One of the things that we're seeing now in the larger companies, you can't get a decision made, and that's of course what everything with tough management is about, is getting tough decisions made. And nobody wants to have the decision labeled to them. So what happens is, if you're selling something to a large company, and I know some of your small companies are selling to large companies, and I'm sure they know this.
Absolutely.
When you're trying to sell to a large company, now there's not one person you can go sell to. You have to go meet with all kinds of people, and you can't tell who's making the decision anymore.
Well, and maybe they don't make the decision.
Well, that's right. What you're getting is, we decided that
right.
kind of stuff. And that whole "we decided" that it's a kind of groupthink. It's disastrous.
Isn't that where creativity goes to die?
It's totally where creativity dies, because nobody wants to take the risk. And to be creative, you have to be able to take a risk and essentially be able to fail.
How do we solve that problem? How does any organization solve that problem?
Well, the large companies are extremely disadvantaged right now, because they're being pressured because of quarterly results, and it's a vicious circle.
I've been saying for a long time, Chuck, that you know, Shakespeare said, first we kill all the lawyers. If he were alive today, I think Shakespeare would say, first we kill all the analysts.
Yeah, I was at an event last week in Toronto, and I addressed several hundred people, and I was giving them some of this information about the demands and the short term and all that. And the CEO came to me after. He said, "I'm a privately held company. I don't do any of this. What I do, I'm not worried about the next month's results." Now this is a successful company,
right?
So that's why he's not worried. But he said, "We're looking at long term strategy. What's the growth path of the company? How do we get there? And we're not worried so much about the short-term numbers." Now, if he wasn't that successful, I'm not sure that would be the case. But
well, maybe that's the reason he's successful, though.
Possibly. He probably also takes vacations Another CEO came up and said, I take a four-week vacation every year. And he said, that makes me very healthy.
Wow.
which most people aren't taking their vacation.
That makes him my hero, I'll tell you that.
Right. Well, we have some. It's all about working smarter and harder. And some quick tips on that. It's about managing expectations all along the way. When you look at customer expectations right now are higher than they've ever been versus the past. Like 86% of executives say they're higher than they were a couple years ago. Interestingly, again, small companies, 97% of small companies say that their group, department, or company meets customer expectations well. And it's only 90% of larger companies. So that's really good news. 50% of small companies say they meet their expectations extremely well. In the larger companies, it's only 25%. So smaller companies they're doubly advantaged, which is a great thing.
So if a small company had the kind of numbers the big companies had, we wouldn't make it, would we?
Well, they wouldn't be small companies anymore.
There'd be no companies.
they'd be dealing with all those same issues that the large companies are dealing with about the expectations, the delivery, the results, the depression, the making the numbers fanaticism, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. How much is improving communication a part of working smarter?
We surveyed that, and we said to increase productivity, what do organizations need more of? The number one thing is communication. Two is focus. Three is collaboration. Four is teamwork. Five is time. They need more time. But communication is number one by miles. And the smaller companies can communicate better because there are fewer people to communicate to.
We're right next door.
Guest was talking about listening. That's our 50% rule, if you remember. More than 50% of your communication should be listening. And if people did that, if they just did that and nothing else, it changed nothing else, it would actually change their business inside because they would be hearing something different than they're hearing right now.
Scott Peck said this, you cannot truly listen to anyone and do anything else at the same time.
That's a good point. But right now, everyone's doing five things at a time.
We're multitasking, aren't we?
Well, we're trying to.
So maybe multitasking, I mean, I couldn't make it without multitasking, but maybe whenever I should be listening, really listening, maybe I should stop everything else. Maybe that would be a good trick in small businesses. Folks, we all have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. We know that. So maybe the key is that we have one rule, and that's that if when someone is speaking to us and we, you know, it's somebody that we need to be listening to, maybe stop everything else. Put the BlackBerry up, put the computer aside, and put the pen down and look it in the eye and open your ears. Quick break. We're going to be right back with Chuck Martin. He's the author of Tough Management. We'll do that right after these messages. Stay with us. It's 7:00. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I have a great visit with our good friend Chuck Martin. He's the author of Tough Management and another book, a business fable book called Coffee at Luna's. And Chuck, both of your books are being sold not only like crazy in the United States, but all over the world, aren't they?
Yes, we're selling in, they're being translated now in Taiwan, China, Korea, South America, Indonesia, et cetera, et cetera.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Most of my other books are all over the world as well.
Well, you've heard me say this before, folks. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. And Chuck Martin's a classic example of that. Okay, we're talking about getting results. Chuck, we got one more segment. What are your last thoughts on that?
Working smarter and harder, some tips, manage expectations all along the way. What happens is someone is delivering and they think they're delivering what people are expecting when they're really delivering only what they expect. So it needs to, whatever you're doing, you need to make sure you're going back to the boss saying, this is what we agreed, right? And when the boss says, hey, do this, and you know it's off the wall and you can't do it, that's the time to deal with this thing. Okay, you don't want to say no, but you say, okay, that's a good idea. Maybe you can help me figure out how I can do that. And when they're listening, the superiors tend to come around and say, gee, this really isn't very realistic.
You know, that's really one of the things that I learned in selling was that when you, one of the great ways to probe a prospect is to reframe and restate. You know, that's where you take what they just said and you reframe it and you restate it for them. And if it's a really stupid thing that they said, when you do that and you do it in the right way, they realize that what they said was really not reasonable.
Right. The extreme of that is to go to the boss and say, let me get this right. You want me to triple my workload with no more staff? What are you, nuts? But that's awesome.
I hear that around here a lot, Chuck.
People also, they don't stop doing something. They just keep adding things to their plate, which is why they have no more hours to work in the course of a day.
Right.
So manage expectations along the way is one. Two, determine what exactly others are expecting so that you know what you're doing. What it is do they really expect? If you are the one who's delegating, clearly articulate what your expectations are of results and then get clear definitions of what other people's expectations are as well. So everyone is on the same page before something starts.
How much should we write down? You know, I think a lot of these kinds of things in a small business are not written down.
Well, this is the sort of thing that should be posted on top of your, in front of you on your wall or something, a little card, these little tips. And so you may not necessarily write everything down about the expectation, but what happens is if you manage expectations all along the way, it can't get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying don't wait until the day
is to be delivered. Make sure that you're involved as the process goes along.
Yes, and then back to communication. If you're the one who's executing, communicate clearly and very frequently the status of the work towards the result. So no one is surprised. A surprise is the worst thing in business. And when someone is surprised,
surprises
even when they're
are
pleasantly
for birthdays.
Surprised, it's not necessarily good. The public companies, when they beat analyst expectations, their stock takes a hit because the analysts think that they lied to them.
Right,
which is crazy.
Well, that's exactly, that goes back to the part about killing the analysts. But only kidding, folks. I'm just teasing. But but seriously, you know, when you're focusing on results and you're, as you say, managing expectations, it seems to me that the best way to not be surprised, and as you've heard me say before, surprises are for birthdays. I don't like them in business. But in order to not be surprised, don't wait until the big day to start, you know, learning about what's going on. You need to be involved all along, don't you?
Well, that's right. And the reason is the person who delegated whatever the action is, that person has other people to report to as well. So it's not just that one person. So because if your results aren't going to be delivered for whatever reason, and there are genuine reasons that these things don't occur, they need to notify the people above them so they can notify the people above them and their peers as well. So nobody is surprised.
Right. Chuck, thank you for being here today. Excellent information. Give us the website again one more time, please.
It's www.nfi, like Net Future Institute, nfiresearch.com.
And the book Tough Management is available wherever books are sold, as is Coffee at Luna's, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wherever books are sold. Chuck Martin is the author. Thank you very much, Chuck, for being here. Good job today.
A pleasure. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
And ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up, I want to remind you that this show today has been dedicated to the memory of Scott Peck, celebrating his life. We lost him a few days ago. And whatever you can find that Scott Peck wrote, find it and read it. And again, I'll remind you that I have one very, very valuable interview posted on our website in the archives under his name in the Brain Trust. You can go there and find it. I encourage you to go listen to it. It's a pretty special interview. I'll see you later. I'm Jim Blassingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.